Blog Talk Radio.
You have made it to Stu and the Nun, an online radio show that looks to inform, educate, and hopefully make you laugh. Stu and the Nun is a show focused on national security, policy, politics, and selfless service. We do this by not only interviewing guests, but also sharing our perspectives and asking you, the listener, to interact with us on our show chat room, via our Facebook page, and on Twitter.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Stu and the Nun. We got a great show for you tonight. We have longtime listener, longtime friend, and ex-co-host slash producer as one of our guests tonight. But my main man, the Stu, he's calling in from South Kakalaki, where one of his offspring is making the life commitment. What's going on, my brother?
Not much, man. Yeah, calling in down here from the rainy South Kakalaki, where we are running some high humidity and high temps, but looking forward to a great holiday weekend and a great celebration with family, and glad I could join you. So from a different studio, not the Northern Studio, we'll call it the Eastern Studio from you down there, the great Republic of Texas, but I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Oh, you know, if I was any better, I'd be like I normally am. But life is good, man. We just had some pretty good thunderstorms roll through here, the Central Texas region. So we're going to have a little bit of disturbance on the air tonight, but, you know, that's to be expected with this awesome thing that we use called BTR.
Yeah, the Blogger Talker Radio. But, yeah, man, lots of doing good, a lot of stuff going on in the world, a lot of things going on. Like you said, we have a great great guest on tonight. Wendy Stewart is, a longtime friend of ours and has been very active in our shows in the past. She is got some strong ties to the military herself a couple different ways, and is, you know, now running for office, continuing to look to serve and some selfless service by being a civil servant of her community. And I think it would be great to talk to her tonight about what she's doing and why she's doing it and all those great things. So, yeah, it'll definitely be a good one. But before we get into that, what's happened in the news, my friend?
Well, you know, it's been a busy week since we've been off the air. You know, we've had everything from congressmen playing children to the closeout of reports to, you know, investigations into assassination attempts. I mean, it's just been wild and crazy. You know, it's almost like we're on a Univision novella or whatever they call those things.
You know, it was, you know, for the longest time now, for the last several months, every Tuesday night was something political going on. There was always a primary somewhere. And, of course, they ran all the way up to the very end to D.C. But, yeah, you know, a lot of stuff going on, you're right. Now we're kind of past all those primary things. A lot of other politics going on. I heard somewhere the other day that Bernie said he is now going to vote for Hillary. So is he tossing his hat into that camp? And then she's out holding hands with Elizabeth Warren. Man, I mean, you know, the left must just be gushing over itself with all that stuff. But I'm not sure the Bernie fans are. I'm not sure they're real happy about it.
Yeah, no, like, this Elizabeth Warren thing, it's super intriguing. I could care less about, like, the fact that, you know, people are concerned that there's two women on a ticket because, you know, that's irrelevant. You know, women are just as qualified to lead as anybody else. So the interesting part is, like, they're not known buddies. You know, like,
you know, Elizabeth Warren has, you know, made a lot of waves in the past and gained a lot of support from bashing Hillary. In fact, like, she's been like a, you know, a one-woman crusader of, you know, like, you know, ridding the world of Hillaryism. So this is like a really interesting political matchup, and it's super intriguing because, you know, it's like, you know, obviously the party's like doing what it can to like kind of bring itself back together. Both parties are extremely fractured right now. So it's super interesting. It's intriguing, but, you know, I don't think that's her
timing
best.
Her timing was right after Bernie put his pitch in. I think she really was planning to run with Bernie and wanted to run for Bernie because him and her kind of had the whole anti-bank establishment kind of, you know, theme going. But her jumping on 2 feet seemed to be right after he you know, folded his cards there. And like you said, she had to go with somebody. So
she does. She has to go with somebody. You know, but it'll be interesting to see what the convention brings. But personally, I think Bernie burned that bridge, you know. So, like, pardon my pun there with feeling the burn. But he burned that bridge. And, you know, when you attack internally like this, and, you know, we talked about this on the show a while back. You know, when you do internal attacks the way that this primary cycle has gone, more so than anyone that I think we've ever seen in the past, on both sides of the aisle, like, and that's like damage you can't come back from. And it's tough to stand in front of like the American people or the, you know, the voting public and say like, oh, well, you know, that was just in the heat of campaign. Like, people have called out people's moms. People have like, you know, called in
and talked about,
like,
the size of body parts. I mean, there's some
right.
serious stuff thrown down.
You know, but like,
you know,
yeah, no, like, you can't dial that back. You can't be like,
no.
You know I released all this information about you. I know I said that, you know, you get all your funding from blah, 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 you know, but let's be friends because that was just the heat of the campaign and it's for the good of the American people. I think if anyone has seen anything through this, like, primary cycle, they've seen that no candidate, regardless of party, has actually demonstrated a care for America. You know, like,
yeah,
they're like the agenda.
Well, you know,
they're running strong.
There's a saying, and this pun is intended: politics does make for strange bedfellows. So, you can interpret that pun any way you'd like. But it's you know, as they say in Afghanistan, you can never buy an Afghan's loyalty, but you can rent it. So they always go with who's winning.
Yeah,
that's not much different.
Yeah.
Than for a nation that is 2 weeks out of the Stone Age, it really isn't that much different than American first world politics. So, you know, be it as it may, only go with who's winning. But
no.
So anyways, it is interesting. It looks like it's not a bore yet, even though the primaries are over. We still hold on to that.
Yeah.
And I saw today, I just want to ask about it real quick. I've seen little bits on the news. I'm hoping you may have more. But I saw the stuff about the bombing in Istanbul. I'm seeing reports of 40, 50 deaths, a lot of injuries. Is there any kind of update on that or what's going on with that? As we continue to see terrorism
racks
every city around this country.
So, you know, obviously the early guess is that's what it is. But, like, you know, I know basically what you know. The last I heard, you know, it was actually 31 dead, 147-ish wounded, and it was a suicide attack, which obviously leads to, you know, people believing it's terrorism. But, you know, it's like there's suggestions that ISIS is behind it, but, you know, like, I don't think there's been any official, like, claim yet. But,
yeah,
you know,
well,
par for the course.
It mirrors the
ISIS
attack in Brussels.
It's typically quick
pretty,
to say, like,
pretty,
I did it.
Right. It mirrors the Brussels attack at the airport pretty close. You know?
In terms of, you know, modus operandi, it looks good, you know, for terrorism. It looks good. I personally, you know, like, you know, while I have my suspicions, while I sit on the air with a microphone in front of me, I don't want to be part of the establishment or the institution that, you know, like, just says immediately, well, I suspect, you know, I do suspect, but I mean, I'd prefer to deal in cold, hard facts, but I'm confident
right.
that cold, hard facts will be following shortly. And ISIS is responsible.
Yeah. So, well, with that, I guess we should get on. We've talked some politics, we've talked some terrorism, talked about things going on in the world. Why don't we let you go on and introduce and bring on our guest?
Well, yeah, I am honored to do that. So I, just to tell our listening audience a little bit about the special lady, the absolute special lady, Wendy Stewart, that's going to be coming on tonight. Before she comes on the air, and while she's on hold and can't, like, interrupt me, I just want to toot her horn and go fanboy on her a little bit, because this lady, while I was deployed, was just the most amazing lady. I have mad love for her. I might have even had a crush on her. I'm married now, so, like, that crush, that little fire had to get extinguished. But she is the most amazing lady. She supported me while I was deployed. She supported my guys. She selflessly supported many others. She is part of just a very impressive group of people that just are always out to give of themselves. And she did it with just the most amazing way to me personally and to the guys around me. And it made a dramatic impact on our morale. It made a dramatic impact on my life personally. I love her dearly. And so anything we can do to continue to support her, we will. Because for a while she was like our main producer. She was like she was the glue that held the baldness together. You know, she was the curly hair to our baldness. You know, like I guess that's not like a Three Stooges, you know, thing. But no, she was special, and she is, and I'm just so super proud to see what she's doing in our community, and she's just going for the. So with that, Wendy, welcome to the air. How are you, girl?
Oh, thank you. It is so ridiculous to listen to you gush about me. You guys know I love you guys, but I do what
it.
I do because I love you guys.
Well, the feeling's mutual. I'm known as the fanboyer. I've done it, I think, 7 times on the air. This time it's for someone that I know deeply and truly personally, and I can't say it enough. I love you. And welcome to the show. Troy, your turn.
Thanks.
Yeah. Hey, I was so glad to have you, Wendy. And we've been excited trying to get you on for a while. So I'm glad we could do it tonight. And, well, I guess, you know, you've had a lot. We've been along since we last talked on air. There's a lot of things going on. And but before we actually, yeah, we'll get into this. So let's talk a little bit about what you're doing. And you're making a major direction and change in life and what you're doing and kind of why you're doing it.
Yeah, so I'm running for office, which for those who know me might find that amusing because I have my own political opinions, but I am not a political creature. This whole running for office thing has just been a very interesting learning process. But I'm running for my local county treasurer. Back in the fall, I was driving to work, and I heard on the radio that the current treasurer was retiring, and I was currently, and I still am currently enrolled to take classes to sit for the CPA exam. I have, you know, you guys know I have a degree in math, and I have a degree in economics from Madison, and I wanted to kind of move into the field of being a CPA. So as I'm driving along, and I hear this, and I'm like, oh, that is exactly what I want to do with my life. I want to do that type of work. And so instead of immediately, like, filing my papers and just jumping into it unprepared, I actually went online and kind of researched the statutes and saw what the duties were. You know, you always think that you're a very good candidate for something until you actually read what the job duties are or what you're required to do, and then you're like, maybe not so much. But I actually read them and thought that that's actually a pretty good fit. I have a background in across several fields. One of them regulatory compliance, which is this job is just, it's understanding the statutes, you know, complying with them, taking care of the county's money, investments, collecting property taxes, going to, you know, county board meetings and making reports and when necessary, disbursing funds when the county directs you to do so. And these are all pretty much up my alley. And also there's a big, huge number piece of it. You know, there's over $100 million in tax payroll or county tax, property tax collection, which has to be, you know, accounted for and documented. And I am kind of that persnickety detail person. So I was like, this is what I want to do. So I actually filed my papers and I'm running for office, which is somewhat terrifying, but also a lot of fun. I'm meeting a lot of cool people. I ran into a couple of old math professors over the past week, which just tickled me to death. And I'm just kind of getting out there and meeting people, and hopefully they'll consider me a pretty good candidate for the office. That's what I'm doing.
So, I mean, as you said, it's kind of a new thing. I mean, it's a different way of kind of changing a career. I guess, what has kind of been your biggest aha moment so far? Of what it's been like to write, like the biggest surprise or just something you just didn't realize or just didn't take into account?
You know, there are different things that people think of during a campaign. I've had meetings with a lot of different people. And for some people, you know, getting your name out there by changing the font of your name. And because I'm a woman, you know, making it look a little more feminine. I think Tammy Baldwin does this. Whether you use your first name and it's bigger or your last name. And you guys know me. I mean, I'm mostly like a jeans and T-shirt kind of person. So I'm like, really, are we going to do this frilly thing and kind of make it this way? And I'm more straightforward. So most of my logoing and everything is all pretty straightforward, which kind of reflects me. But those kinds of things, you know, and then just some of the, you know, the funding, obviously. I'm launching a campaign fundraising tonight because – that is the crazy piece. And, you know, you hear about it on the news. You see, you know, oh, Trump's behind Hillary in campaign fundraising, or so-and-so has like a $300 a plate fundraiser. And for the normal people like you and me, where we just, you know, we go about our business and we don't pay $300 a plate for anything, it's a little surprising, but they need that money because they have to run these multi-million dollar ads, or like at my local level, you got to do the yard signs and the banners and the literature and the T-shirts. And it's always that surprises me too, how much money's invested in campaigning. But people have to know who you are. You know, I live in a county of 150,000 people. There's no way I can possibly meet them all, so that they know that I personally am qualified, so that I can explain myself to them or talk to them, introduce myself to them. I do it as much as I can, but there's no way I'll hit 150,000 people before November. So the other piece of that is just kind of putting your name out there, putting your literature out there. And so those things kind of surprised me. I don't know why, it just never occurred to me that these are things that have to be done. I just thought, oh, you know, I think back to, you know, when this country started and little communities elected, you know, like the businessman who was always kind of taking care of people, and he was a family man and a father and a business owner or a farmer. And they all kind of had this consensus that he should lead them because of the kind of person he was and the skills he had. And he was just a leader. Or, you know, like a treasurer would be like a banker type person, somebody who's kind of used to handling money. And so, that is not the way it is now. People don't necessarily look at qualifications. They look at parties. They sometimes people just vote straight party, and they don't care if that person is even remotely qualified to do the job. So all these little things kind of throw me off, but you know what? Just got to do it.
Have you felt it's given you a bigger appreciation or a different appreciation of just politicians in general, and just what they go, whether at the local level, state or federal level, of the stuff they have to do? Because, you know, you probably have had to, I'm going to assume, you know, there's probably some people you kind of have to meet and get along with, maybe normally wouldn't hang out with or like. There's events or things you have to do, or just to, you know, get the visibility. Has it given you kind of appreciation of some of the stuff? Not that politicians are great or should be excused for some of the stuff they do, but they are human people. They make mistakes. But has this given you a different appreciation of them, or kind of what they do to get to an office?
It does. It is a lot of work, and you have to have a really good team who's willing to dig in and work with you. I have a great team, and they just, you know, we're going to events, and you know, for me, it's for me and my personality type. I think at the federal level and at the state level, it's a lot of schmoozing. That's what it feels like to me when I see them, which is not genuine. But, I attend these events, and I just talk to people. This is who I am. This is what I want to do. I want to do this job. I want to do this job for the county. You know, I have the knowledge and the skills and ability to do it and do it well. And I want to represent you in this office. You know, and I think just being able to talk to people that way without kind of at that higher level, I think when people meet Trump or whatever, they're kind of starstruck because he's Donald Trump anyway. You know, he's got his TV show, and he's a multimillionaire, and he's, you know, got his casinos, and he kind of has his own persona anyway, so people are a little starstruck by him. I'm just a woman who is a single mom, and I work, and I'm running for office. You know, I go to school part-time, and I'm just trying to get by like everybody else, you know. So I think at my level, it's just really kind of making that connection with people. I think at the higher levels, it's a little bit different because they have to, and plus my position is not political. I mean, it's a partisan race, which is just fascinating to me. I keep digging through the statutes trying to find out why it's a partisan race, because politics has nothing to do with the treasurer's office. But people who, you know, run for partisan positions, they have to be a little more careful on how they present themselves. They have to make themselves kind of middle of the road appearing, I think, sometimes, or more conciliatory to both sides. For me, it's just, you know, it's pretty straightforward. I can do this job. I can do it well for the county, and I want to do this job, and I want to do it for the people. So that's where I'm coming from.
All right, cool. No, I mean, you mentioned a good point about being, you know, not, it's a treasure. It shouldn't be really political, don't you? And I'm probably confused why that is, too. But let me ask you, you're running against a few other candidates. Has it gotten nasty, or has there been digs, or is there any kind of that going on yet? Or is it too early, or is this the kind of position that really wouldn't happen in?
You know, I really don't know. we have three county races going on. There are nine candidates across those three races, and I'm the only one running as a Republican. So the other eight candidates are duking it out in the primary here in August. So between them, I think there were a couple of them that maybe had a few not nice things to say to each other in the press or whatever. But in my race with the treasurers, I have four opponents. The four of them are going to whittle down to one. They've been really civil. You know, I met one the other night. I went to the Democratic candidate forum, and I met one of the candidates and chatted with him briefly. And everybody's being civil. So, I mean, there's no reason to get, at least from me, they're not going to get it from me. There's no reason for me to be ugly about a treasurer's office race. It's just presenting myself the best I can, and then the rest of them, they're going to do what they're going to do.
You know, like, that's a good attitude to have about it. The, you know, like, being that it's, you know, more fiscal than political, you know, you would think that it'd be very, you know, pardon the term, gentlemanly, and, you know, handshakes and, you know, head nods versus, you know, mudslinging and positioning. So,
yeah.
You're always the spectacle of class, and that's why we love you. And so. You know, I really think you're going to do well here. And, you know, this is one of those things where, like you said, you know, 150,000 people, that's tough to get to. But, you know, I think you're versed in the ways of getting your message out there. You know, you're social media savvy. You understand grassroots communications and, you know, leveraging relationships to get a grassroots message going. And so it should be pretty solid. I'm excited for you.
Listen to you, Toby. You are just, you're the savvy person, the way you're using all those political, social terms on getting getting your message out there. It is, I mean, it is true. It's so funny because my my daughter is kind of my social media director, although she's working and she's getting ready to go back into school. She's going to go to school over the summer and then back in the fall. And so she kind of handles the things like the Instagram, which, you know, I'm kind of not a fan of. It's just weird to put pictures of yourself out there like that. But the, you know, on the Twitter, I feel more comfortable on Facebook, I think, with, you know, my circle of friends and a bunch of new supporters who I just, I love some of them who've just gotten behind me 100%, and I really appreciate them for doing that. But yeah, it is a tough road for me in particular, just because of the party I'm running under. And it's so funny because, when I was speaking with the Democratic candidate the other night, he asked me why I was running party as if, it's true. I would have a better chance if I was running as a Democrat. That's the reality in my county. But the funny thing, again, we get back to this job doesn't have anything to do with politics. And, you know, when you look at the parties, you just got to look at which one more closely aligns with you. And because of my economics degree and understanding economics and understanding things like what's happening in Venezuela with poor fiscal policy and things like that, I'm more a fiscal conservative. And that's it. You know, it's like that simple. And so, you know, you just kind of go, well, you know, this job has nothing to do with it. The county makes their decisions. They tell me, you know, they're going to tell me what I need to do and what checks I need to cut, or, you know, how the money goes back and forth between the municipalities and the county. That's also run by the statutes. And it's just being a really good rule follower and understanding what the rules are and understanding the parameters. And like you guys always say, you know, just staying in your lane. And that's really what this job is about. So, you know, I can do that. I can do that really well, just kind of learning, and you know, it's going to be a steep learning curve. One of the candidates mentioned she actually works in the office in the treasurer's office, and she mentioned that the deputy treasurer may be retiring also. So we're talking like a complete vacuum at the top between the treasurer and the deputy treasurer, and a deputy treasurer is going to have to be appointed also by the treasurer. So it's really about, you know, kind of planning ahead and looking at potential people. You guys know I'm a planner, so planning ahead, thinking about potential candidates to point to that off, you know, that position if you win, you know, how quickly do you learn software? You guys know I'm like a huge software geek. I've done a lot of, you know, teaching myself coding. My previous job had a customized software that I dug into and learned backwards and forwards. My current job is the same thing. I know the software forwards and backwards and just teach it. I do book editing. I convert Word documents for Kindle reading format. So,
right. Yeah. No, I love that process. As you know, we use it quite frequently, but that you have to know how to do it. It takes skill.
It does. And there's very particular, you know, editing rules and things like that that you have to follow, or it's going to mess up your whole formatting. And it's just a matter of, you know, and I learn very quickly like that. So when I'm thinking forward to the fall, and I'm thinking forward to winning this office, I'm also thinking beyond that, and when I actually take office, and what kind of things are going to have to be put in place, and how quickly I'm going to have to learn all of the duties of the office. Hopefully, maybe the deputy treasurer will not retire, and hopefully she would be willing to stay on for another year or 2 years to keep a level of stability in the office. You know, there's always those kind of different parameters and different possibilities, which are things to look towards, and it's just kind of looking forward and looking to how to keep things going smoothly in this office so that there's no disruption in service to all the voters and what are basically customers of that office, you know, those who pay their property taxes or have to deal with other things going on in that office.
Well, you know, I want to dial it back a little bit, and because you said, you know, something that just absolutely, like, made me smile. You know, because you are a lot smarter than we are on certain economic issues. And, you know, Venezuela is absolutely a case study in, like, things going awry, because, you know, people think like the public coffers are, you know, a bottomless pit, yet they are not. And leadership that, you know, tend to like shower their people with gifts, not realizing that they can't afford to do so. What are your takes on Brexit? You know, the United Kingdom leaving the European Union. My sister, as many know, lives in Liverpool. You know, she's the subject of the kingdom. You know, half of my family, or a good portion of my family, live over there. So, you know, I've kind of heard their standpoints, and they're on both sides. But, like, this is a very economic question. A lot of people think that it's like a pride or a isolationist type issue, but this is a very economic issue. So kind of, if you don't mind, will you indulge us on your take of it, or are you prepared to answer a question like that?
I don't mind talking about it. I've been reading a lot of articles about it, and it is fascinating to me. There is a bit of a piece of the nationalism.
But
England has stayed with the pound. It didn't go to the EU. Or the euro. So, and when they declined to do that, they were told you will never be a good banking center, economic center, and yet they're a huge banking center with
they're
you know
thriving.
with a different monetary coinage. So, I think people are panicking just because of uncertainty. You know, the EU is not helping by squeezing England to just trigger that Article 50 and start that process. But, you know, I think if as long as the leadership in Britain kind of takes that deliberate step towards making sure that the people understand, it's not like England is just going to dissolve tomorrow. It's not like people are going to dissolve into what's happening in Venezuela, where they have no food and they have no toilet paper, and somehow everything's just, you know, they're having to hunt down, you know, stray animals to survive. England is not going to fall apart like that. And I think
no.
The British need to keep it in perspective that because they are not part of this political union, you know, this whole the whole EU was started 50 years ago as a political entity to prevent, you know, Germany and France and some of the other countries from fighting. You know, if we're all in this together, you know, and we can, you know, it's kind of like the UN. Like if we all kind of band together, then we can resolve our differences this way. And, you know, hopefully they'll get through it. Both entities will get through it relatively unscathed. I'm a little concerned about the EU because of Greece's situation. And
that's a perfect example. Why is the burden of crappy leadership and poor fiscal management being placed on other countries? Can you imagine if, like, and Canada's not in a bad position right now fiscally, but can you imagine if, like, Canada said, hey, thanks to NAFTA, you really screwed us, America. Therefore, we feel that you need to take on half our national debt because, you know, like, you're basically the reason we're screwed. Even
yeah.
though, like...
And that's the sovereignty piece. That's part of the sovereignty
right,
piece that I think people are fighting. But, you know, I mean, Greece is another example, and their case is very, very interesting because they did it to themselves. They started with this whole huge, you know, socialist type system where there was a lot of, you know, their largest employer, I think, is the government. And Venezuela is the same way with the largest, you know, the largest employer is the government. And because they had these very generous social benefits, which there is a time and place for social safety nets. I have spoken to other Republicans and other Democrats who have used the safety net and gotten out of the safety net. There's a difference between that and just an overall, you know, spending just to spend type attitude. And Greece got themselves into trouble that way. Unfortunately, because they were in the EU and the EU and the IMF basically just squeezed them into taking on, they have taken on more debt. They have taken on so much debt that they will never be able to repay that. And there are actually Americans like that. There are Americans who have, you know, bought the house, bought the car, bought everything, and then they're so in the hole, but they have an outlet. You know, anybody who gets like that deep, they have an outlet. They can go to bankruptcy court. They can start over with nothing and bad credit, but they can at least start over. With the Greece, because the EU is controlling everything about their governing, basically, and the decisions being made for them, they just keep squeezing Greece like you need to cut more and you got to do more austerity and you've got to Greece has no way out. It's like never being able to go to bankruptcy court. And so what do? And there's a lot of despair, and there's, you know, the Greek people are actually really struggling with this whole program that they're under, and they can't get out from it unless they do what England did. And that's I think that's the biggest fear of the EU, is that these other countries will see that it is a viable alternative. And that is going to be an interesting thing to watch, you know. And it's going to impact us. It'll impact the global markets. And so people should educate themselves on what's going on. It's not just, you know, flag waving. There's other things going on. And they should read articles.
Absolutely.
And they should not just read for bias confirmation, though. They should read a wide spectrum of articles and stories so that they understand and get different views.
Look at you with the big bias confirmation word.
Oh, you know what I mean.
I do. And, you know, so many people, you know, I was talking to this gentleman I met who's an amazing naval special warfare operator, and we had probably a 3-hour conversation on, you know, bias confirmation. And I just love that word. But, hey, I think Troy's got something for you. Go ahead, Troy.
Yeah, I just want to, you know, we talked some good worldly stuff there, so I want to kind of roll it back some to your local area, your county. I mean, I know it's a political position, but is there something that you're going to try to do? Are there principles? Looking even at the lessons of the whole world and other countries we've been talking about, but are things you're going to try to bring back to Rock County to try to manage and maintain as the treasurer to ensure that that, you know, the county and its people stay in a good physical shape?
Well, here's the thing. The treasurer's office actually manages investments.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. you know, part of the CPA piece is also, as a CPA, depending on different roles because of the whole Dodd-Frank's split in how to, what CPAs can and cannot do after the Enron collapse. But basically, you know, if you are advising people or your company on investments, you know, you're looking at the future value of investments, or you're looking at the present value, whether you're spending more now for something or, you know, in future dollars, whether it's worth it to invest in something. Those are all things that I completely understand. And I do keep my ear to the ground and understand kind of, you know, exchange rates, obviously living in Europe, and you guys have lived in Europe. Oh, you guys haven't deployed, or you guys, Troy, you lived in Korea. So yeah, the exchange rates and understanding.
I've spent plenty of time in Europe.
You know, just understanding, you know, foreign currencies. A lot of people invest in foreign currencies. I don't know if Rock County invests in foreign currencies. I don't know what their investment basket is. But, you know, those types of things. And also one of the huge things that that impacts everybody is technology and innovation. The county has moved to an online payment system, which is great. The question is how much communication has gone out about it. I'm sure the current treasurer has done a lot of work to making sure that people – but there's always more opportunities to keep educating people on this easy-to-use type of system so that you don't have to come in and wait in line and write a check type. And also, you know, just looking for ways to streamline and find efficiencies I do that a lot at my current job, just, you know, finding those ways where you can kind of cut some of the fat so that you're just doing a better job as a team. You know what I mean? And it's really, for me, you guys know I'm kind of a lead from the front type of personality where, you know, there's no job that's too small for anybody, I believe anybody on this earth to do. You know, and at my current job, there are times where it's a little bit slow in my office. I'm done with all my work. I've kind of hammered through it quickly and efficiently. And then I'm like, I will go out and help on the production floor because sometimes they're shorthanded or sometimes they just need an extra person out there keeping an eye on things because I've cross-trained. And, you know, that's another thing that I want maybe some of the listeners to understand is that I am actually willing to cross-train into a lot of different positions. My last job, I was a cost analyst. I did a lot of analysis on materials and pricing and profit margins and things for my company. But then they saw that I had the capability of learning very quickly, and they actually cross-trained me into reading CAD drawings and quoting semi-specialized fasteners to our customers. And it's not so easy to make the leap across that kind of engineering divide. And then, you know, in my current job, I'm actually an inventory control analyst and logistics. And then I've cross-trained as a supervisor, and I run a line like every couple weeks where I go out there and they're shorthanded and they throw me on a line to run a line, you know. And so I have a flexibility. I have a mental flexibility where I can learn things and learn things quickly and then make sure that as a team, as a unit, my company, whichever company I'm at or whatever team I'm leading, that we are working together. And if somebody is falling behind, that you as a leader have to step in and help them so that the whole team succeeds. You can't let one person fail or let one person lag behind and then just walk out the door. Well, my day's done. You know, they get to stay an extra hour and struggle through getting something done. No, as a leader, to try and keep that cohesiveness and respect for each other, you have to be willing to go in and if it means just, you know, data entry or whatever needs to be done, you do it. You do it so that as a group, as a team, and as the leader, you are succeeding. And sometimes you make bad decisions. Sometimes you have bad information. Sometimes you just are human and make a mistake. And as a leader, you have to own that. I'm a firm believer in owning my mistakes and saying, I made a mistake. This was bad. This was a bad decision, or this occurred. This was an error. And this is how I'm going to fix it. And this is how I'm going to prevent this from happening again. You know, and that type of, that's kind of the type of personality I am, you know, and I hope that, I hope that's the kind of person that somebody wants in the treasurer's office. I don't know. I don't know if maybe they want some other type, but that's the kind of person I am, is just to lead from the front and work as a team to try and succeed and improve things for the people that you work for, whether it's a private company or the county or a nonprofit. I work for a nonprofit. So that's a lot of information, huh, guys?
It was a bunch, but it was good stuff.
Oh, you guys.
Troy, did you get it all, Troy? Were you taking notes?
Yeah, I got it off. I was digesting it. That was
It sounded like you were still chewing on it. You were like,
"Oh, did I catch you while you're eating dinner? I just stopped talking.
No,
and left
no,
hanging."
No. That's good though. You brought up some. I mean, you're like I say, you're bringing not only your own life experiences and beliefs and values, but you're very observant of what's going on in the world. And I mean, it's obvious you know you're not in the position yet, of course, of one. But I mean, you've got a direction and you're passionate about it. You want to make sure you do what's right. But I think a lot of that's the kind of your background of a civil servant, if you would, or you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, somebody asked me once why I was doing this. Like, why do you want public office? And you guys know I come from a military background. I do my own private voluntary work, like, you know, supporting Toby while he's deployed and things like that. my generation, in within my family, my generation, nobody has served yet in some way, whether it's military service or something like serving the public in a public office and being accountable to the voters. And I, you know, that's kind of, that kind of just adds to me wanting to do this job. It's not just because I would love to do this particular job. I have no intention of running for a higher office, trying to become like an assemblyman or try to run for senator or president or anything else. This is the job I want to do with the numbers and the, you know, collecting property taxes and the spreadsheets and, you know, all of that kind of geeky, weird number crunching type stuff. That's what I do, and that's kind of what I want to do, and I'd like to do it for the county, you know. That's where, that's where that, that is stemming from. So,
well, you know, there's no doubt in our minds, and, you know, we're just so honored to have you on so you can talk to, you know, our listening audience about, you know, your dedication to the community. I mean, like you said, you know, you supported me in ways that it's even hard to explain. One, I mean, care packages are one thing, but, I mean, for me personally, I mean, you provided emotional support while I was deployed that was just unparalleled. When I came home, like, it wasn't one of those things like, oh, you're back. Well, you don't need anything anymore. Like, peace out. You became a good friend. You stood by me. You stood by my endeavors. You've always been supportive. And, you know, that's the – if that's what you do, you know, on the side as a hobby, as you just said, is like, a, you know, your volunteer work, I can't imagine, you know, the diligence and the steadfastness that you're going to demonstrate when you have it as a task. I know your employers will – you know, attest to that. So, like, super excited for you. And I, you know, as you said, some of these candidates, you know, four are going to whittle down to one. And then we're going to see how it goes. And I believe that you're going to get through, you know. I believe that, you know, you're going to step up your social media game. I think you're going to get on Snapchat because apparently that's, like, the craziest thing right now. I just got a block of instruction on it the other day because apparently I needed this. Step my Snapchat game up. I didn't realize it was the newest marketing, you know, feature of America. But, you know, like, I'm excited. I'm excited for you. You know, we're rooting for you. And we're excited to have you back and tell us more. But I know Troy's got another thing for you. Troy?
Yeah, I just want to mention something about – no, I'm right here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hello? Okay. You mentioned something about a fundraising drive. We're getting down to the end of time here, so I want to make sure we hit on that. And just kind of what big announcement or what are you kind of coming out with tonight on our show for our listeners to know about and hopefully for your constituents?
Well, I'm hoping, you know, I do have to raise money. This is so funny because I have what you guys talk about more like the online presence. I have the online circle of friends, which are kind of spread across the globe. So when I was advised to do like fundraising and I need to set up these local fundraising things, you know, have somebody come in and you know, it's kind of the same thing instead of charging for a plate. It's just kind of like, can you come down, make some donations and do it all in person, except that's kind of not my circle. I mean, I would love to do that with, and I am going to do that around the community, but I wanted to start it with family, you know, you and Toby and all of the, you know, the military community. I'd rather do it with family and just, you know, come out there and say, hey, listen, can you please support me? If you can donate $5 or $10, it all adds up, and it helps me buy the yard signs, the banners, the literature, where I get to talk about myself some more with the literature and hand it out to people. And so, you know, I'm just asking people. I have a PayPal campaign account. It's under my Gmail address, which is rcwendy for Rock County Wendy 2016. If you want me to do the alphanumeric call out, I can at gmail.com. So rcwendy2016@gmail.com. You can go into PayPal and then find it, and you'll see it's the Friends of Wendy Stewart campaign account. or they can mail a check, because some people don't trust the online stuff. They can mail a check to the Friends of Wendy Stewart, S-T-E-W-A-R-T, because Troy's Stewart with a D, so Stewart, at 1905 South Marion, M-A-R-I-O-N Ave, in Janesville, Wisconsin. That's where I live. J-A-N, as in November, E-S-V-I-L-L-E, Wisconsin, 53546. If they want to send that to me, I would greatly appreciate any help I can get. You know, you're going to see me on Facebook at Rock County. It's Facebook, Rock County Wendy. You can follow my campaign. You can like it. You can share it. That's always fun. I love seeing, like, those new little likes pop up, because I've never had, like, an official page type thing before, and I see this new little thing pop up, and I'm like, look at this. Somebody likes my page. But, yeah, I just really need the help right now so that I can get my name out. Because I'm running unopposed in my primary, I'm actually I have to keep campaigning despite not having an opponent. Because right now all of my opponents have all their signs out, and that's all the voters are going to see for the next 45 days until the primary are my opponents, unless I can get my own signs out there. And then after that primary, then it's going to be just me and one other candidate head-to-head. The other two races, interestingly enough, whoever wins the primary actually gets the seat unopposed. So that's kind of an interesting turnout from that piece. And that's another weird political piece. If everybody runs under one party, whoever wins the primary, they don't even have to worry about it in November, which seems kind of weird to me. But yeah, I just... If you can give me some help, I appreciate it.
Well, hey, we're getting some suggestions from our chat room, and Matt Bernard is a longtime military blogger, great infantryman, New Hampshire native. He's like put up. It looks like vote at voteforwendy.com is available. Maybe you should go get that URL and start.
I have a website. I actually do have a website. It's rockcountywendy.org. And about me is on there, you know, kind of my platform. I have a platform. I call it the 3 A's, because they pretty much represent me and who I am, the type of person I am, which is accuracy. You know, as a numbers geek, and you can't earn a math degree and not be accurate in some way, shape, or form, because you're not going to get too far. Accountability, again, ownership of, you know, the good and the bad. Well, sharing out, you know, you got to share out the good, but the bad, you got to own it. You got to be accountable, and you got to be accountable to the voters. And accessibility, because it's public office. You know, people need, if you sit in a public office, you should be answerable to every person. And if somebody calls you, you should be willing to talk to them and answer their questions. And so that is kind of what I'm running on, the 3 A's of who I am and how I want to represent this office.
Well, man, we appreciate it. So one more time, it's RCWendy at?
RCWendy, Rock County Wendy, RCWendy 2016 for the year at gmail.com. Or you can go to rockcountywendy.org, and there's a contribute tab at the top.
Ooh.
And I built that webpage
too. That's how you do it. Make it simple. you heard it here first, folks. This is your call to action. You know, let's get Wendy some signs so people know it. Everyone knows, like, the name recognition is one of the most powerful, you know, points of electable to become electable is name recognition. So let's get out there. We're running short on time. So, Wendy, thank you so much for coming on. We can't wait to have you back as a co-host to provide commentary as this process goes along. We love you. And, speaking for both Troy and myself, it was great having you on. Can't wait to hear about your success here. And you know that we're rooting for you, and we love you deeply.
Thanks. I love you guys. I appreciate you guys having me on the show. I'll let you go because I know you guys got to close it out.
Yeah, well, but don't go anywhere. We're going to put you on hold because we want you to hear because we're about to make a wild announcement, and we want you to be one of the very first to hear about it. So we're going to put you on hold, so don't hang up, all right?
Okay.
Troy, with that, my man, are you ready? I mean, we got five
minutes. Yeah,
which equates to 4 minutes and 15 seconds of airtime.
Right, right. Go ahead and, since you're in studio and I'm on mobile, go ahead and come out with the announcement and let everyone know, and unless you got a rant, and then talk about that. I'm good on rant.
Well,
quickly
before we rant, just to update you, it does look like Istanbul was ISIS, and the numbers are sadly climbing. But so, you know, it's sucks to hear that. But yeah, no, like we are looking at yet another one out there, and it's airport terror attack. But for those of you listening, and those of you tuning in and downloading us here and listening to us after the broadcast, we are pretty excited to let you know that we're going to be off the air July 12th. The reason we're going to be off the air July 12th is for two reasons. One, Troy has a real job, and he has to do some work stuff. But the real reason we're off the air July 12th is it's because it's my birthday. And Troy will attest to this, the Stu will attest to this, that when I'm drunk, I am not good on the phone. I'm not good on the mic. And it's embarrassing. I slur my speech. I get wild and crazy. And we need to keep me off the air. When I'm buzzed, it's cool. But when I'm like straight up drunk, it's bad. But then, so we're going to have a show next week on the 7th, and then we're going to be off the air for the 12th. We will have a show. I gave you the wrong date. We'll be on the air the 5th, off the air the 12th, and we will be returning July 19th. Pretty excited about that. And one of the reasons it's exciting is because we're going to be on a different platform. Troy, why don't you let our audience know what's going down?
Yeah, so Stu and the Nun will be moving over to what is known as the Veteran Radio Syndicate, VRS. Now you can check it out at vetrs.com, V-E-T-R-S.com. We've been working with the Dan and the folks over there at the Syndicate. If you go check it out at vetrs.com, you'll see they have a lot of different shows by some pretty popular blog and websites that are over there. They have a show dedicated just for female vets. They have one from Grunt Style and or, you know, all kinds of different things. But we're going to be joining over there same time, 8 o'clock, same day, Tuesday nights. And probably to the end of the year, we'll still take a copy of our show and put it here on Blog Talk Radio. But we're going to be over there. You can go over to that site. There's a chat room that's for all the shows. And you can there's a show run before ours, there's the one after ours, but you can go in there, chat, talk to a lot of other people. They get the show is fed through iTunes on podcasts. It has a big market and a huge listening audience. We think is really going to help. We bring a unique perspective to that station. Essentially, it's an online veteran radio station, and we're going to bring our kind of format and talk show to it. So we're really excited about that. I'm really excited to join them, and we think it's going to be a win-win for all. So that's kind of what we got coming up, starting on July 19th over at vetrs.com.
So super cool. We keep our time slot. That's because we're big ballas, and we bring a lot to their network, and we're pretty excited about it. It's going to be great for all involved, and we're pretty excited about it. And no more BTR. Like we are tonight. So with that, thanks everybody for tuning in. Troy, congratulations, my man, as a father. Your son getting married this Saturday. You just had the time of your life and impart great wisdom upon him and welcome him to the manhood realm of marriage. And just super excited for that, man. That's awesome. What a career that guy's got ahead of him.
Yeah, sure enough. Thank you so much, and thank you, everyone, for listening. And I'll keep you up on how this all goes over this weekend. But other than that, we'll talk to everyone next week.
Thank you for tuning in to Stu and the Nun tonight. We're always grateful for our listeners, both live and those who check us out on the archive. Be sure to check out our website at www.stewandthenun.com and like our page, Stu and the Nun, on Facebook, and follow Stu and the Nun on Twitter. And of course, be sure to join us again next week and every week here on blogtalkradio.com/Stu and the Nun every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. You all have a good night.